Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Glad to have you on today. Going to talk some baseball. Baseball, this, they want to make it mandatory that a pitcher has to face at least three batters. So it is the anti-Brewers rule, basically. They face at least three batters. In addition to that, they also want to put the DH in both leagues. And they, look, they've been playing interleague play consistently now for a long time, so people have argued for this. My argument is, I'm not a fan of the DH. Now, if you grew up in the American League and all you want is offense, then maybe this is a great thing for you. Maybe you're really happy about it. I personally, I like the strategies of a man. Now, some people say, I don't want to see a pitcher go up and bunt. Well, there's not a lot of pitchers that do it very well. And when you see one laid down and it works to perfection, you appreciate it as a fan. Maybe it's me because I like the nuances of the game. And chicks dig the long ball, the home run, swinging for the fences. But it's funny because after each and every show when the Brewers lose, the first thing everybody brings up is, why didn't he bunt the runner over? Why didn't he put a guy in scoring position? Why are they passing on all these opportunities? So now if you put a DH in there, a guy that should be a power hitter most of the time, unless you're putting an average guy there, the argument is going to become even more moot. But the owners and the Players Association discussing rule changes that could take effect as early as this year. This year, I'm not happy about it. I'm just not. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. The rule is proposed that pitchers would face a minimum of three batters upon entering the game. This would apply to both the openers, as they call them openers, who became the new fad during the postseason, as well as relievers. Let's talk to the man, the myth, the legend himself, a guy that is, reminds me of Punxsutawney Phil when I know baseball season's on its way. Whenever we get a chance to talk to him first out of the gate in the season, our buddy Seth Everett. Seth, how you been, pal?
Oh, my man, I missed you.
I know. I'm doing well. How you been?
Good. I'm ready to get it started. We're going to do another season, right?
Looking forward to it. I can't wait. I'm excited for baseball. The Brewers obviously have a renovated spring training facility, so I'm excited to get down there and check that out.
You're going to go see it before me. There's a chance, depending on how a couple of meetings go, there's a chance I'm in Arizona for an extended period of time. I'm working on a new documentary about baseball, and we'll be going out to spring training. And as soon as we get the green light, Phoenix is one of the first spots we're going to hit. And it's ironic that the Brewers have that new facility, and that was one of the things I told them that I wanted to see.
I am going to be there the week of March 9th through the 16th.
Cool.
So if you get out there, make sure you look.
We could have talked about this off the air. Your listeners are like, what the heck are they talking about?
Nah, they'd love to hang out with us. We'll tell them where we're going to eat steak or something like that.
That's right. Yeah.
I got to ask you, you're the first person I thought of when I heard these rule changes. It's kind of the anti-Brewers rule when it comes to pitchers must face a minimum of three batters. Give me your first thought on that.
Shifting deck chairs on the Titanic.
I agree.
That's my first inkling. You know, you and I haven't talked all off season. And could you imagine if we had done a weekly segment where you asked me where's Bryce Harper and Manny Machado going to sign?
Right.
I mean, there is. Jason Stark did a great job. He put together a lineup of unsigned free agents, and it's an actual all-star team. The union, I had a meeting with the union for this documentary, and I was sitting with Tony Clark, and like you could see his blood boil when they talk about the baseball in the offseason.
Yeah.
Like if you don't think they're headed to a strike, you can talk all you want about a universal DH. You can talk all you want about a three-batter minimum. You can say all you want. In order to fix this sport, there's going to be a work stoppage. And if you remember, Gary Bettman canceled the season, and it made a better sport.
Like, right.
There's no secret that, you know, in hindsight, that was a really bold move by the NHL at the time. I think baseball is headed to something like that. I don't think it would be an entire season, but I do not think the players and owners have any, they are not remotely on the same page when it comes to what ails this game.
Okay, let me start there first, because this is a lot of worms we can put back into the can. I understand the player side of things in the sense of there are teams that are not trying to win. Completely agree with that. I think there should be a minimum. I think there should be a certain amount of money spent. And if you're not trying to win, then you should be penalized, or at least revenue share should be taken away. Now, you do have a period of time to rebuild if you screwed things up so badly. But I still believe that there should be a minimum. The other side of the coin is, with all the sabermetrics and the new numbers and younger GMs, the 10 years $500 million deals and the 10-year $400 million deals that we were expecting, nobody is willing to put their neck on the line for 10 years. If you want $35, $40 million a year, take it for 2 years and then go back and sell yourself all over again, because nobody wants a bank that you're going to be great for 10 years. And that I don't have a problem with.
I completely agree, but there was something that was a factor that people don't usually talk about when they talk about these numbers and why you sign Alex Rodriguez and Albert Pujols to 10-year deals. And the reason was star power. And right now, outside, if you want to include Bryce Harper, I'm fine with it. Tell me the star power of Dallas Keuchel. Tell me the star power of Manny Machado. And, you know, I say this all along. You know, last year we talked about that joke. I said, you know, one day come out of your segment, come out of a segment cold with a Mike Trout audio piece and give a T-shirt away to the first person you see that can identify his voice.
Right.
That's the best player in the sport. And, you know, you spent last week talking about where Anthony Davis wants to play. and Kristaps Porzingis isn't even a player that's on, you know, he's not even active. And it was the biggest story of Super Bowl week, and that was during the Super Bowl. And you have a sport in baseball where guys don't want to commit to 10 years because you definitely don't get the return on the investment, but now you're taking away the marketing aspect of it. Now, I will say I think Bryce Harper could be a superstar in Philadelphia. I think absolutely, because of his magnanimous personality and how Philadelphia yearns for a superstar and embraces a superstar. I think there's that possibility. But that is a dying breed. And you're seeing it because there is not the return on the investment for the Yankees to get involved.
But is the NBA worse off because LeBron went from Cleveland to Miami, back to Cleveland and to L.A.?
No. What the NBA has done is the NBA does a remarkable job of wanting to know, like, fans crave what they want to know about Giannis. They want to know who he's friends with. They want to know what his social media stances, you know, his political stances are. They want to know how he feels, what teammates he likes, what teammates he doesn't. You don't do show. I listen to you. You don't do shows talking about the third quarter of the Milwaukee-Portland game. You don't do that. But in baseball, we talk about pace of play, and we talk about the seventh inning and whether or not you can bring in multiple relievers and what are the percentages of teams actually coming back. You know, that's another part of this.
Right.
Is, you know, people talk about the pitching changes, right? There's too many pitching changes. The reality of it is that if a pitcher comes out and has nothing and you have to have him face three hitters, that changes the entire dynamic of the baseball
game. Completely agree.
To me, it compromises the winning. And so I just think it's rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic because they're not recognizing the root problem. I'll give you the statistic. 2019 happened. Or 2018 happened. There were 11,000 less balls hit in play than 2008. So this is not, we'll get off my lawn. This is not baseball was better in the 80s, better in the 60s. I don't want to hear about Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays. It's not about that. Baseball was a better sport 10 years ago. And that's what the union is saying. The union is saying we want things to be status quo. And what the league is saying is that doesn't exist anymore. And as a result of it, you're headed for an Armageddon. They are not on the, they're not even talking about the same things. Because, and your evidence is there are over 100 unsigned free agents.
I and Part of that is agents. Part of that is everybody's looking for a piece, a role. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You get stars if you win. High tide raises all ships. So to say, well, Bryce Harper hasn't gotten his big money in the marketing aspect of it. Look, the Brewers are a small market. They get a tremendous amount of money and marketing out of a guy like Christian Yelich, out of a guy like Lorenzo Cain, out of Ryan Braun for so many years. Ryan Braun is kind of the offshoot to that because he has a 10-year deal, and it turns out it wasn't worth that amount of money, which is the reason they're probably never going to do a big deal like that again. So that these are teams. The Pujols deal was a bad deal. The Fielder deal was a bad deal. CeCe Sabathia deal.
But the Pujols deal was because they wanted to put Pujols on billboards.
Right.
Don't forget, technology was different then.
Yeah.
And it's not that long ago, but we're not comparing baseball to, 30 years ago. The Pujols deal had a marketing arm. Texas Rangers had a reason to sign A-Rod. And it's the argument why I think Bryce Harper winds up with the Phillies or the Nationals. See, I think Harper belongs with the Nationals. I think he's a perfect fit there. I think they addressed all the needs that they needed to do. They'll give him an opt-out because that's the other thing. Whatever these guys sign, there's going to be an opt-out after 4 years anyway. And as long as these guys stay healthy, they're going to opt out anyway. So we're not talking about 10-year deals anymore. I think that what has to happen is there needs to be a restructuring. And I think all deals have to be one-year deals. And the union will never go for it. But I think it's headed for Armageddon.
I've said all along, you're only worth what somebody's willing to pay. And if you're going to keep, and I know we're talking about major money and Machado and Bryce Harper because everybody's waiting for those dominoes to fall. But when you're a guy like Scott Boras and you're saying $500 million, $400 million, and people are going, yeah, right. And you're trying to prove yourself right by sitting guys out. It's like Rob Manfred said last year, look, there's $200, $300, $400 million worth of deals that are sitting on the table right now that players just don't want. They're walking away from a massive amount of money because of ego, not because they need to suddenly feed their families. So if you want to play baseball, there's a job for you. And if you want to talk about the R word being respect, you need $1 more than the guy next to you. Well, you've got to find a team that's willing to pay it, and there's only a few out there that can.
Yeah, and right now, the way people are looking at Manny Machado, the White Sox strategy, which was to hire his brother, sign his brother-in-law and his cousin, might pay off, because a lot of people that I talk to, and I talk to scouts all the time and GMs all the time, and what I'm hearing is that if Harper goes, my prediction is Harper either goes to Philadelphia or Washington, and then Philly gets Machado if they don't get Harper. If the Phillies sign Harper, then Machado goes to the White Sox. That's amazing. That could lose 100 games.
It's. You know what? Let's. You got time to hold? Do we got time to hold him over, Joe? Can we do that? Let's do this. I want to continue to talk some baseball. We haven't done it a whole lot. Hang in there a couple of minutes, Seth, and I want to come back to you because I don't want to cut this short. Hang in there. Seth Evans, our baseball insider, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. We are talking with our baseball insider, Seth Everett, on the Bill Michaels Show. And baseball has proposed some rule changes that they could get in as soon as this year. I would hope not, but adding the DH and then allowing pitchers, whether it's an opener, as they call it now, being the new fad, or any relief pitcher, to face minimally three batters. And Seth, I want to move on to the DH real quick, but I've never been a fan of the DH. I like the strategies in Major League Baseball. I understand people don't want to see pitchers bunting and such, but when the art of a bunt goes down, the advancement of a runner 90 feet to put a guy in scoring position, when it pays off and it works, it's a thing of beauty, and it's also, to me, a managing of the mind of the game. It's what involves me in the game. I understand people want to see runs and fly balls, but as you said, we're already looking at a game in which people aren't putting the ball in play to begin with. I don't need to see more power hitters strike out. What I want to see is the nuances of the game. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, my attitude, has been, I just think that if you're going to do this, you have to give them a couple of years notice. Like, I don't think that you can just automatically institute this with 2 weeks to go to spring training. Like, I just don't think that's fair. I think that teams need to figure that out. And you're not going to get all the owners to sign off on that. You know, again, that was something that the union proposed. And, you know, the reality of it is the union acknowledged that there are problems. And they came up with their own list of solutions. And one of them is a universal DH. And, you know, what the league is saying that if you'll institute my pitch clock and you might consider my three batters per pitcher rule, we'll give you the universal DH. And I don't think when Manfred says that, he has the backing of all the owners. Because I've always been under the assumption that the National League owners en masse, I'm not speaking for every one of them, but I'm stereotyping here, is that they don't want that because that's an extra full-time salary. That's an extra position player that makes, you know, $4 or $5 million. So you're asking every National League team to increase their payroll by $5 million. Some of these teams already have $200 million payrolls. So I just don't think it's practical to start saying this now. If you said this to me at the World Series as something to think about for 2019, I'd take it a lot differently. This to me came out because after the Super Bowl, there's always a slow news cycle, and this is to me what happened.
How imminent is a work stoppage in baseball, and how soon are we looking at it?
I think it's two seasons. So I think we're talking about the 2021 season. I think that all of 2019 is fine, and I think all of 2020 is fine. I'm working with the union on this document. I can't say what everything that it's about, but this is the evidence that I had. I met with the union about this documentary, and I was told that I have the full support of the union to do it, and that won't happen once 2021 hits. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm going to do this, I have to do it now, because once 2021 hits, it's going to be changed. One thing that didn't get a lot of publicity, I didn't see many people writing about this, the union hired new lawyers. Because if you remember, you know, the last time there was a work stoppage, we're talking about 30 years ago.
Right.
But the last time there was a work stoppage, Don Fehr and Gene Orza had legal backgrounds. Tony Clark is not a lawyer. I think Tony Clark's a brilliant guy, but he's not a lawyer. And I think there's a big difference there. And I think the philosophy there is, and what Rod Manfred, and this is where I question Manfred, is I think what needs to happen is, like Gary Bettman, I have a lot of respect for what Gary Bettman did and how gutsy it was to tell the players, it doesn't matter what you guys want, this is a broken system. It's a broken sport. And the only way we can, you know, until you acknowledge that the system is broken, we can't proceed. That's why I think it's a work stoppage, but I'm not even sure it's a strike. It might be a lockout. I'd have more respect for Manfred if he locked the players out. I don't think he'll do that. This is where I question Manfred and his leadership, because I don't know that he's the right guy to orchestrate this whole thing. He was the perfect guy to negotiate the 2002 settlement. If you remember, there was a collective bargaining agreement that went down to the wire in 2002, and Rob Manfred was the lead negotiator. And that's where I know Rob for a long time and spent a lot of time with him that year because he was the lead negotiator. I don't know that he has two masters to serve. The owners have to make sure that they don't give up too much. The players still have a strong union. It might not be the strongest union in all of America like it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago, but he has to recognize the changes that are going on with the sport. And in every conversation I've either heard him, read him, or spoken with him, the way it comes off to me is that he thinks this is an ebb and a flow, and this is just part of the cycle, and this isn't the crisis that I've been screaming about. He didn't say these words, but he makes me out to be an alarmist, and I don't think I am. I don't think I'm a negative person. I don't think I'm looking for controversy. I don't get paid any extra if I say something controversial. I just say it the way I see it, and I don't know if Manfred does.
I still think, look, they're all worried about length of game and time of game and, you know, worry about the quality of the game.
It's pace of play.
Pace of play. My ass. Right. Get rid of all the damn challenges and challenges that aren't even allowed. This is what bothered me was there were last year you had two challenges. We had at times guys just nodding their head to an umpire 3, 4, 5 times a game. It became ridiculous. They were reviewing everything.
Well, the way I, you know, my argument about replay is I think the challenge system doesn't work because I think that if it's even debatable, the time that you waste, because every team employs a replay coordinator, and what these people do is they have access to the same cameras or similar cameras that the league office has, and what they basically do is they go out and they stall. And managers have told me this. Terry Collins used to tell me this all the time. They would go out and stall, and then they would give them a thumbs up if it was something worth challenging. Take all of that out. If it's close and it's debatable and anybody could have a beef, the time that it takes to say you have the beef, they could have already been looking.
Why not just put a guy up in the booth that buzzes the home plate umpire that says, I got to take a look at this. Give me a second.
Got to take a look.
This is so stupid. This is such an easy fix, and baseball has its head so far up its own butt, they can't figure it out. And then they want to do all this other crap that just changes the basics of the game. I don't know. I get all pissed off about it.
But here's the thing. And if you notice, none of the proposals include outlawing the ship. So they want to take they want to make a mandatory three batters per pitcher, but you can shift on all three batters. Again, you're not going to get hit that way. You're not going to get balls hit in play.
I get it.
11,000 less balls hit in play than 10 years ago.
This is really going to date me, but give me the days of Tony Gwynn and Pete Rose and guys that could look at a shift and say, I'll stick it in your rear end in the opposite direction. I learned how to hit. Instead of guys that just go up there and grip it and rip it because of a launch angle. Baseball sucks because of the sabermetrics of what guys began looking at.
But what I found, and you know, I do a lot of markets. You know, I go out in a lot of cities. And what I found in 2018 was, any city that was in a pennant race didn't talk about it, and any city that was out of the pennant race, that's all they talked about. And it proves my theory, which is fans care about their team first and a sport second.
Yeah, well, you're right there.
Milwaukee was one of the few teams that saw attendance increases last year. Was one of the few teams.
Right.
And I would argue they would not have seen that increase if not for the roof.
Which I completely agree with, because everybody that came to town knew they were going to have a game.
Yep. Andrew Wagner did a great Forbes piece about that, the impact on the roof and what it meant for the Brewers franchise, and that was remarkable. But what you didn't see was a lot of these conversations you and I had, but when I went on other shows in Milwaukee, it was all about Brewers this, Brewers that, Craig Council this, Craig Council that. Josh Hader this.
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. There's a big picture to it. It just gets under my skin. Seth, I don't know where you're at, but hopefully the sirens have died down and you're not in the line of fire, man.
Los
I appreciate
Angeles.
It.
I'm in Los Angeles. It's not, they have different sirens than New York. I'm used to the New York sirens.
Okay. Take care, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. Write it down. I'll be out there on March 9th through the 16th. I hope to see you there, okay?
That would be great. And, looking forward to another great year.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Seth Everett, our baseball insider. Great stuff. I love talking baseball with Seth. He's just, I love it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.